Welcome to The Learning Curve, a show about helping kids get good grades in school and succeed in life. The Learning Curve is for parents, teachers, and students, because all of life is a learning curve, and you'll succeed to the extent that you can learn easily. Now, here's your hosts, the authors of How to Learn, How to Teach, Overcoming the Seven Barriers to Comprehension, Roger and Virginia.
Tonight's guest is Francie Alexander, who's a director at Scholastics, Inc., one of our favorite publishers in all the world. They have such a wonderful array of books. And as we said last time we interviewed Francie, the website is such a treasure trove of information for parents, for teachers, and for advanced students. And I really do recommend going there and getting the information at Scholastics, Inc. So Virginia has an interesting question to start tonight's interview off on.
Yes, actually tonight we're going to talk about gifted students, and I chose this topic because we've been talking about how we can help those students who are not up to speed or need a little help to get up to speed, but we haven't really addressed what we do with those students who are already up to speed and actually way beyond it, and how do we keep them engaged in the classroom or in learning. So Francie, I would love to ask you a question, and that is, what would you say is the most common definition of gifted?
The most common definition of gifted generally talks about academically gifted, children who do well in school. And when I was in the state of California, two of the programs that I worked on were mentally gifted minors and gifted and talented education programs. So I have a lot of experience with children who identify as academically gifted. But I think that there's one thing that we should say, because even if you're a parent of a child who's struggling or is somewhere else on the learning continuum, as a parent, you probably think, my child is gifted. And let me tell you, you're right. Children are gifted, as we are going to talk about, academically, but some are gifted at sports. Some are more talented at making friends. Some have creative art experiences. So there is that seed of talent in all children. So some of these ideas where we're going to focus on the academic are things that you might try with your child in terms of encouraging their other talents and their special gifts.
Yes, that really is an important message. I hadn't actually heard it articulated as well as you just did, Francie. The focus is so much, unfortunately, on academics or a particular sport, but there's so much else that parents can validate in their kids and strengthen their positives.
Absolutely. And in fact, one of the main things that we can do when teaching our academically gifted children is identify strengths and teach to those strengths. But again, we can do that with all of our children. Find out what they do well or what they're better at, and teach and encourage that and nurture it in them.
Yeah, and it really develops them with confidence and sets them up for a winning proposition in life.
That's right, because obviously we want every one of our children to succeed to their potential in all areas.
So I have to say that you gave me an interesting realization when you talked about the fact that children are gifted in other areas than academically, because quite honestly, what I've been referring to as gifted children, I've been thinking academically, but you brought up a very good point that some are socially gifted, some are physically gifted, as in sports, some might be gifted in being able to express themselves in an artful or an art form.
That's right. So again, in terms of looking at our society, we want all of our children to be able to manifest what their talents are, what their special interests are. And so while there are programs in the school for the academically gifted child, again, some of these same techniques can be more broadly applied.
At Scholastic, Francie, where you are a director, what resources or books in particular do you have that address this, that parents could actually look for and benefit from knowing about?
Well, first of all, thank you for the nice things that you said about our website. And one of the things that parents and families and children will find, we have extensive resources on books. And then, as well as describing the books, we give you a sense of levels. Now, when we're talking about our academically talented children, here are some things to keep in mind. One is, let them choose their own books. We find in general when kids choose a book, they're more likely to stick to it. This is something that academically talented kids really like to do. Let them pursue an interest in depth, even right. if it's a bit obsessively. If they want to just read sports books for a time, if they just want to read about dinosaurs. When I had the highly gifted children in first grade in my classroom in Los Angeles, one little boy, and I remember him so well, he worked on a 50-page paper on dinosaurs. He was only in first grade, and he would carry it around in like a little suitcase that was the equivalent of his briefcase, and he always said, this is my project, and he carried it around. And so let him spend a good deal of time on something that interested him. Let him read widely in that particular area, and widely and deeply. Let him read books that were increasingly, in terms of text complexity, on sort of a text complexity staircase. So those are things we can do in terms of encouraging our children to read. Let them pursue interest. Let them make a choice themselves. Let them read widely and deeply once they've made that choice and found those books.
That's a brilliant example of how to empower a child's inquisitive, natural ability to learn and benefit from it. It reminds me of a situation I think I may have mentioned in the last interview we did, Francie, where one of my clients who was testing his young son, who was 7.5 at the time, and he asked the little fellow one night as he was reading some books in his bedroom, he said, Brian, are there any words in that you don't know the meaning of? And the young fellow started to point to all of these words.
That's right. And that's a learning opportunity because well, there's a chance to look them up.
Dad then said, well, I think he knew the answer to that one because I'd coached him on it. So Dad took him off to Barnes & Noble and let the little fellow select his own dictionary. And he sat on the floor with the dictionary he ended up selecting, going, wow, look at all these words. And that night he was sitting up in bed and said, this is fantastic. This is my favorite book. So he took it off to school next day and then came back with it and said, Dad, you know, this is so fantastic. We've got to buy one for every kid in the class.
What a good idea. And you really hit on another important technique for working with academically gifted kids, and obviously all kids can benefit from a dictionary. Academically talented kids tend to love reference materials.
Yeah.
So either going and doing research on the internet on a topic, and they will read a dictionary like a book, kind yep. of a page to page, because they're so interested in it. They'll pick up a whole topic of the A's on a website about animals and want to read all the A animals. So those kinds of things are things that kids, they'll want to take a deep dive in terms of their learning when their interest is piqued, like you described that Dad did by getting his kid a dictionary. So mm-hmm. those are other things, and you know, obviously to let them go.
I'm curious, since you were a teacher and you did handle gifted students, would you say that gifted students do better in a school, or do you think that maybe they might blossom more if they were homeschooled?
What I think the best situation for kids is one that develops them academically as well as socially. And a lot of times kids who are gifted sometimes have problems with collaboration because it's sort of like, hey, I already know this, so, or I know how I want this project to go, so I'd rather do it on my own rather than work in a group. But I think all of us know in our jobs how important collaboration is.
Right.
So whether you make a decision to send your child to school or homeschooling, you really need to reinforce and find opportunities for collaboration. So if you're homeschooling your child, then be sure that they're in things like perhaps scouts, that they're playing soccer, if they're interested in sports, that they're going to a class at a museum with other kids. Because that negotiation, one of the fun things for me about seeing the scientists work on this current project going to Mars was, look at how diverse they look just in terms of the news portrayal. They were all sitting there, they were always working on something together. You know that these were really talented scientists or they wouldn't have been on that team, but you also saw them working as a team. So respecting differences, what different people bring to a team, that's a huge part, because you want to be able to use your academic talents in ways that better society, in ways that you can exert leadership, so and in ways that you can make a great contribution. So the collaboration is really important.
When we were speaking earlier, you had pointed out, and I thought this was very, very interesting, pointed out that gifted children, when they're in a school, in a classroom situation, they also need to be taught. I'd like you to, could you expand on that? Could you explain more about that?
Certainly, because learning is taught, not caught. And even when a child has a special knack for doing mathematics, sees the system early in the stage of knowing their numbers, sees the system early in recognizing their letters and the sounds that they make. One of my favorite books is about a woman and described about learning to read in Los Angeles. And she said at 4 years old, after lots of stories being read to her, she looked at those letters of the alphabet and she imagined them wearing costumes. So she started to see, like, A making two sounds, and they're dressed a certain way, and they do this in a word. Well, these children need great exposure to then understanding, yes, you've identified a system. Here are the rules of the system. The vowels have more than one sound. The children will love to get their heads around that, and they will be able to express themselves better. For example, in reading, if you're talking about a good reader, they may not be a good speller. Good spellers are always good readers. One thing that I found out with my gifted and talented students, they needed to be taught the spelling. And they liked it. They liked how the rules interacted. They liked how the vowels interacted. And it made them much better and complete writers by spelling accurately. So while we teach the kids strengths, we also have to identify the areas of learning needs, because these things will not just present themselves, they won't just happen, but they need good instruction. But they need instruction that differentiates, that adapts to their pace of learning. When they want to go more quickly through the alphabet, they don't want to do a letter a week or a letter a day. They may want to work on five letters right at the very beginning and start forming words. Those are the things you need to do, and differentiated instruction is something at Scholastic, in our teacher section, in our parenting section. Those are things we talk about a lot on our website.
Now, that actually brings up something very interesting, because being a tutor, I also have different levels of ability within my one class that I have to tutor. So how would a teacher go about juggling all the different levels of ability within one class?
Sometimes a way to do it is to use what we call tiered assignments. So let's say that we're studying space exploration in our science class and we're reading high-quality informational text on it. Well, I can look, and the Scholastic website helps you do this, I can look at books on the planet at multiple reading levels. So those children who are just getting into informational text, need more picture support, need less text, I can give them a book that's at a level that matches them.
Oh,
those
that's
children
important.
Who,
yeah.
It really is. And then those children who can read deeply about it, they can read what NASA's putting on their website. They can go to that website, or they can go to another source or book, and they can read at that level. But when we come to our collaborative group on how we're going to report on, and a great project is, if we were a space team, what would we have to know about the plant that we were investigating to start the exploration? So everybody can contribute something. children who need are struggling readers and need more support can at least deal with the basic facts and some of the things about, well, we certainly need to identify where it is in the solar system. We need to identify these three things about it. The children who are reading at a more advanced level can come up with some really deep investigative questions about what the exploration and what kind of data and other things that they would collect once they decide when and where and how they were going to do the exploration. So you can see, and that gets to another point about helping our gifted children, open-ended assignments that they can take even further than perhaps you as the teacher, the parent thought they could. You can let them go by leaving it open-ended. But in the classroom, you can let everybody make their contribution to it.
And that's actually very important because, as you pointed out, collaboration is something we all need to learn. And you're in the workplace, you're going to encounter people with different levels of abilities, and how do you work with them and how do you make them work together as a team?
That's right. All of us at Scholastic, we have the areas of our expertise, and then we share that in a group, and then our colleagues do the same, and we're all stronger for it. There's a saying that I used to put up in my classroom about collaborative learning, and it was, none of us is as smart as all of us. And so I think when we remember that on a day-to-day basis in our jobs or when we're teaching our children at home, if we're parents helping our children learn, if we're teachers, is understanding what we all can contribute and that, indeed, we're all enriched by everybody's contributions.
Yes, that is true. I was just wondering, Francie, from your experience, what are the traits that parents should look for when they are trying to do an evaluation of the gifted aspects of their child?
Certainly, if you're looking at academic giftedness, one way that it presents itself early on is through language development and also through questioning. And so children who really want to know the answer to things. And a simple explanation doesn't work. They keep probing, you know, why is the sky is blue? Oh, it has something to do with light. And you go over quickly. No, I mean, why is it bluer now? And you know, they'll keep going and going to the point where, as we know, you say, let's go read about that together. But the child who continuously probes, who asks for more information, and then starts to integrate what they're learning into their own vocabulary. And so you hear them saying words that perhaps they've been exposed to in a book or you've used with them, and they're using the words correctly. And you see that vocabulary growing quickly. Those are some indicators. Another is the interest thing, that they really want to pursue things and for a period of time, that they're not just going from one thing to another, but that they can sustain
their interest.
They're very
dedicated in their pursuit of a purpose. Yes, I've noticed that too, rather than being dispersed easily.
That's right, that they want to stay with it. And another is that they, you know, when you talk about what's fun for them or what would you like to do today, it is listening to stories or reading stories. It's going to a museum. They clearly express their preferences on things that are learning-oriented. Now, if you're looking at children whose interest are in other places, sports, certainly those kids who can't put a ball down and always want to have a ball in their hand and want to do something with it, they're aiming quite directly, and like they can throw and catch early. They have good eye-hand coordination. And they seem to also want to learn about the sport. They want to know what the rules are because in their mind you can tell they want to get into the game. Artistic things are those children who seem to be able to pick up a single crayon and you know, like Harold and the Purple Crayon, make something with it, show things. They'll show a preference for a color or some kind of a technique for their crayons, for doing things with cutting up paper. So these things, when you really see a child making their own choices, doing these things over and over again, really caring about what they produce, like if it's the artistically talented child, or if it's the sports-minded child, caring about the ball being straight, caring about how far it goes. They set goals for themselves. And that's something else that I think it's important for parents to think about in general, goal setting. This is something that gifted children really appreciate, if you would, being in control, or what we call sometimes having agency over their own learning. Mm. Having them say, here's things I want to learn about, here's how many books I want to read, here's at the level I want to be reading at. They like to articulate those goals. And I think all of us, my whole biological clock is on a school year. This time of year, even though I'm not teaching anymore, I sort of reset my personal and professional goals for where I want to be. I think right. about the school year as, what do I want to accomplish here at work? And I jot down my goals in a little notebook about things that I'd like to improve in, things that I would like to be successful at. And I think that's an important thing to do with gifted children, and indeed with all of our children.
That's very insightful, actually. Yes, helping the child set goals so they can move toward accomplishing them and having big wins. How early or how young do you feel that the parents should really start paying attention to this in a really close attention?
I think starting at the preschool age, you know, starting to really see what kind of a learning personality your child is exhibiting. Do they like more things that have to do with science and social studies? Do they like things to do with movement? Really starting to get a sense of what they enjoy and what they stick with. And by the way, though, it's also important to keep introducing at these early ages other options, because you don't want them to too soon sort of get a sense of, well, I'm more into math than I am reading, or the converse, more reading and math. There may be another point in their learning path that, wow, this is something, it might be the right book comes to a child at a certain stage, I really want to do more reading. Because even with our gifted child and pursuing his or her strength of giftedness, be it towards science or social studies, you want to keep them well-rounded. Because that well-roundedness helps them solve problems in increasingly interesting, creative, and complex ways. So you want to keep up the exposure to a variety of things,
right,
no matter where the particular talent is. There's a scientist at Berkeley who was advising us on helping kids become more scientifically literate. And he was showing how one of his classes was about taking the work of Thomas Hardy in literature, particularly Tess of the D'Urberville, and comparing it to the evolution and talking about what physically was happening in the world that was reflective of what was happening inside this character. Well, I'd never thought of that book that way. So he's, you know, seen it in terms of geology, and of course I'm seeing it in terms of this woman's travail. So so bringing all these different insights in, and so when I read the book again, I had a whole other level of understanding and meaning and experience with it. So those are the kinds of things we want to keep our kids well-rounded through these early years. We don't want them too early get on one particular path and ignore other parts of their development. So, for example, with the academically gifted kids, we talked about keeping them learning collaboratively, and sometimes our academically talented kids, who they do put themselves in books and stay in their heads so often, sometimes they need some encouragement and some support and some help with socializing. Whereas some of our socially gifted kids, I had one child in my class, and I called her a friend-making machine. So she could just help. And she could help others. And when somebody new came in, I would call on her to get that child into the classroom mix. So all of these things can be practiced and commented on and encouraged in our children. And toward that end, I think an important thing in all of this is how we talk to our children mm-hmm. about their strengths and about their weaknesses. And so when you're goal setting with your child, encourage them, something that they feel strong and that they feel they're really talented at. Let them set a goal in that. But you know what? also encourage them to uncover an area where they're not as confident, where they think they need to do better. And that helps them have a better and fuller picture of themselves as right. learners. Also, while our kids, who are academically talented, ways to tell them about it are not to say you're smart. And you know why? Because that sort of says, well, it's just because of who you are. Doesn't matter because of who you are. You still, as we talked before, you need to be taught. Learning isn't just caught. You need to work hard at things. Even while you're delving the depths of, if you're about science, about social studies, it's going to take hard work to really get to the level of academic attainment so that you're able to put land exploratory devices on Mars. That takes hard work.
Right.
So you want to encourage your children to work hard. So rather than say you're smart, say, wow, you found a creative solution to that problem. I noticed that you read 10 books on one topic. You must be start to feel like you're knowing something in depth. Or I learned something new from you and your dinosaur book that I didn't know, and I'd read a lot of books about dinosaurs. So those are ways to talk about the child's effort, talk about the hard work they're putting into it, talk about the way that they're demonstrating interest or creative solutions to problems, rather than just say, well, you're smart. Because another downside of that is when they have to work at something, they'll say, well, maybe I'm not smart at that. So maybe I'll keep working on this other thing. I'm smart at this science thing, but maybe I'm not going to really pursue something in the social studies area. Mm-hmm. Whereas, again, when you can bring in a lot of knowledge from all of the disciplines, just like the scientists I told you about, you can solve problems more creatively. You have a broader sense of your development. So we want to be sure that our kids are learning widely, broadly, bringing things from multiple disciplines, or at least being able to listen to other disciplines as they solve more and more complex problems.
Well, what you said has actually sparked a few thoughts and comments in me. And at the beginning, you were talking about children asking lots and lots of questions because they want to delve into the depth of something. And that just made me think of those parents who just say, oh, it's because it is, or and they become not frustrated, but maybe afraid of the fact that they don't know. And rather than say, well, let's go find out together and make it a learning experience that they can both go through, they start to feel threatened about it. They need to use it as a learning opportunity. It's an opportunity to connect with their child, actually.
That's right. And the last thing that's also so important is the connecting with your child. And there's a point that your child may surpass, your gifted and talented child will surpass your knowledge or what your confidence in an area. So the learning together is a really good approach. Another thing is when your child has way outpaced you and the resources you can find, look for a mentor. Mm. Look for somebody.
Very good point.
One of your friends who's got a strength in an area that you don't, then I could call on you or you could call on me to do certain things with our children that show them, again, another area and help them with their strengths, help them with their interests, help them pursue things. And sometimes mentors can be found in museums and other places. There are people who teach classes and who are willing to get involved with kids. So those are other ways to help your child grow and learn. And just the mentoring reminds me of another thing. Sometimes we also, with our children who do so well, we over ask them to tutor others. So we always kind of say, well, you can go be the teacher. So it's really good for these kids to also be mentored and realize, wow, I know a lot about this, but this mentor knows a lot more. That's right. There's a long way to go.
Yeah.
So that's another important understanding or insight for these children to get.
That's an important point for us to be able to end off on for this recording, Francie.
There is just so much we can talk about with this. This is a huge subject that I would like to explore again.
Me too. I think it's an important one, and meeting all of our kids where they are and helping them attain their potential is so important. And there are lots of ideas like the ones we've discussed on the Scholastic website for people who want more information right now.
Thank you, Francie.
And the website is?
Scholastic.com.
Bless them.
Thanks for listening to The Learning Curve with Roger and Virginia. For more information on the subjects covered during the show, visit howtolearneasily.com or send an email to questions@howtolearneasily.com.